Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips and only your word will be spoken. Open our ears and only your word will be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is all about remembrance. Remembering. Not just thinking back, but entering into. And so we have our cross. We have the sign, Jesus, King of the Jews, the crown of thorns, the sponge. We have the rooster crowing. Remember Peter denied three times. Judas went out and hung himself. He was scourged, beaten, mocked. They pierced his side with a spear. Put a purple robe on him. They nailed him to the cross. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. They cast lots for the only clothes that he had. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two. I grew up in New Jersey. Actually, we distinguish South Jersey from North Jersey. South Jersey really is just a suburb of Philadelphia. Before my father crossed over, this was a number of years ago, he was 90 years old at the time, I went with him back to his old neighborhood in South Philadelphia where he grew up. He and his family lived across the street from a schoolyard. It was St. Monica's Catholic Church. And there in the schoolyard was a concrete wall. Leave it down, please. My father shared with me how they played all kinds of ball against that wall. And it was fascinating to be with my father at the age of 90 and to go back with him to relive those memories of him growing up as a young kid. Playing ball against that concrete wall. We, quote, entered into his life as a young boy. And I then had the privilege of sharing a piece of my father's identity, which I will never, ever forget. When we walk with and share part of a person's history, we enter into the life experience of that person. And we share a piece of that person's identity. I don't know if you've ever had that experience with your parents or a grandparent. It's an awesome, eerie feeling to go back and to relive some of those sites where they grew up and spent so much time. Well, this week, this Holy Week, we have a tradition of entering into a part of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. We, quote, remember what Jesus endured the last week of his life before his resurrection. In Hebrew culture, to remember is to relive, to enter into the past event, as though we were actually there at the time. This is very different than just remembering what I had for breakfast this morning. It's remembering with my father his early time of childhood, entering into it. This is the whole meaning of Passover. When each year the Jews would, quote, remember being set free from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. So those of you who have been with us for our Seder, you know that we have bitter herbs to remind us of the bitterness of the slavery of the Jews under the Egyptians. So it is truly an entering into the experience once again. And so we begin today by reenacting, in a simple way, but reenacting nonetheless, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We started, and gathered our crosses, and were waving our banners just like the people would have back at that time. As Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem, for the world, it was the high point of his ministry. They wanted to come and make him king. But we know from a heavenly perspective that it was the beginning of his tragic passion, suffering, and death. The same people who were crying, Hosanna, just 5 days later, would be crying for him to be crucified. And so on Thursday evening, we enter into, we share, we remember that Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. It was his last supper with them. And during that evening meal, Jesus gave two commands. In the Anglican Church, we call this mandatum, command mandatum Thursday, commands Thursday, because of the two commands that Jesus gave. And he gave those commands specifically, told them, so that they would, quote, remember him. Not just remember, but remember. Enter into, share in. The first command he gave was washing of the disciples' feet. And I just want to read with you what Jesus said as recorded in John's account. After he had humbled himself and washed the feet of his disciples, something the most menial of slaves would do, he said this, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." That's a pretty powerful statement. It has often amazed me why throughout the history of the church, this washing of the feet has not had more of a prominent place in our remembering, in our liturgy. And I would dare say, I think for myself, it, for years, never experienced it, and would have been very embarrassed if I had been sharing with a new believer, someone that I talked about Jesus, and they got excited and they started getting into the scriptures and reading the Bible, and they came to me and said, "Hey, I've been reading through this Gospel of John. This is really exciting. It talks about this thing called washing the feet. Tell me, what's it like?" And years ago, I would have had to say, I don't know. I've never done it. Imagine the expression of my friend. It's like, wait a minute. You said this is the Word of God. This is really important. Yeah? And what does it say? What I've done to you, you do to others. And yet you've never done it? Well, you know, that's just not part of our tradition. You know, we don't really do that kind of thing. But it's kind of embarrassing. All kinds of reasons, don't we? I just would have found it very, very embarrassing. For many of us, it's not part of our tradition, and yet we do believe the scriptures. We believe what Jesus says. He says, if you know these things and you do them, blessed are you for doing them. And so on Thursday night, we offer that opportunity for washing the feet. If you've never washed someone else's feet, it is very humbling. To have someone wash your feet is very humbling. A second thing Jesus commanded them to do was to celebrate what we call Holy Communion. We do it every week. We do it on Wednesdays. And again, Jesus told them, do this in what? Remembrance of me. Not just think back to what I did, but to remember me. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:16 that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we actually participate in, we share in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. What an amazing statement that is. But that's what it means to remember. Jesus himself in John 6:56 said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in them." Amazing and real. In this way, in a very real way, We actually share in the identity of Jesus. We abide in him, and he abides in us. And so then following our service on Thursday evening, we follow Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, also known as the agony in the garden. And Jesus said to his disciples, and I believe says to each of us, could you not watch with me 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Could you not come for 15 minutes and share in the solemnity of that night? The place is dark here. The altar is bare. And we come and we sit in silence and meditate on the things of our Lord's passion. It is a very holy time. And then after the all-night prayer vigil, which, by the way, our security team will be here, come any time throughout the night, stay as long or as short as you want. 15 minutes, if you want to stay all night, you're welcome to do that as well. And it's after that that we then follow and retrace his steps to Calvary, to the cross, to his death at 3 p.m. on Friday. We have the Stations of the Cross at noon to again retrace those steps. Then at 2 p.m. we have what's called the Liturgy of Good Friday, the Good Friday Liturgy, where it's a combination of prayers and scripture readings and hymns. It's a very holy time because we set the steeple chimes to go off at 3 p.m. And so going through the time of prayer and reflection and scripture passage, towards the end, we just wait in silence. We wait for the bells to go off, marking 3 p.m. and the moment of Jesus giving up his spirit. It's a very holy, holy time. And so this Lent, we've been talking about having more of God and God having more of us so that we might draw loved ones closer to the Lord. As I said, we don't do it for ourselves, do it for the sake of those we love. To get closer to the Lord, so that through my relationship with Jesus, he would draw others to himself. I've said the best thing we can do for those we love is to love Jesus more. Some of us I know this saying in marriage seminars and so forth. The best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. The best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. The best thing we can do for those we love is to love Jesus more. When we do this, we remember. We enter into the life of Jesus. And we actually come to share more and more in his identity. As I did with my father, going back to the time of his childhood, I related to him in a very much more deeply and intimate way. Again, I will never forget that as long as I live. And so we do that with Jesus. You can think of a young child spending time with an adult. And what happens is the child spends more and more time with the adult. The child becomes like the adult, right? The mannerisms, the ways, some even the wordage. And that's how it is with Jesus. The more time we spend to him, with him, the more we come to be like him. As someone recently said, we become image bearers of Christ. And it is then that we represent, not just represent, but represent Christ to those around us. When they look at us, they see the image of Jesus. I know that's an amazing statement, but it's true. There's a very well-known story among preachers of a visiting preacher who went to a church to preach, not his regular church. And as he climbed up the pulpit to preach to the people, he noticed on the words of the pulpit there, "Sir, would that we see Jesus." That's what the church wanted. "You come to preach to us, great. Sir, would that we see Jesus? Would that we hear Jesus?" That's what it's all about. To represent Christ to those around us. To bear the image of Christ, as amazing as that sounds. It is true. It is real. And it is our opportunity this week, this Holy Week, to truly enter into this life, this experience of our Lord and Savior, that we might more readily identify with Him, that His image would be in us and would be visible to those around us. What a blessing, what a blessing. I know for many of us, this is not part of our tradition. We just never grew up with this. You know, it's like, I just read the Bible, I love Jesus, that's all. You know, this all this simple stuff, you know, okay, that may be good for some people, but doesn't do much for me. I just invite you to try it. Some of these things, Jesus specifically said, like the foot washing, as embarrassing as it might be, He says, I'm telling you, I've given you an example. I want you to do what I've done. And I would not want to have the time that we talk to someone, a friend, who's getting into the Scriptures, a new believer, and they come and say to us, tell us about this experience. And for us to say, yeah, I've never done that. So this is the week. It's the opportunity that we have to enter into truly the memory of what our Lord Jesus did for us and for the world. And so I invite you to remember this week, to enter into this time, that we might more faithfully, more deeply share the image of Christ to those around us. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. The time is shorter now than when we first believed. And oh my goodness, how the world needs to see images of Jesus walking around. Truly, the best is yet to come, despite what we see going on in the world. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer? All God's people said, Amen. Amen.